Well, away from all the politics, let's change course now, because earlier this week I did an exclusive interview with the British sports commentator Peter Drury, known to many as the football poet. You would have heard his commentary during the Qatar World Cup, and it was just incredible to listen to him. So he's the lead commentator for NBC, and prior to joining NBC Sports as well, he was the main commentator for Premier League Productions, and earlier this week, I spoke to him about African football, about the GOAT argument, and his how he prepares as well. Have a listen to that interview. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us. Your voice would have been the commentary that South Africans heard during the World Cup, so it's fabulous to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This morning is the morning after the Arsenal-Man United game that you called last night. You don't know this because you don't really follow social media, but you've gone a bit viral because of your commentary at the end. Is Arsenal going to win the league?
Well, it's beginning to look as though they just might. You know, it's a crazy time to go and watch Arsenal play. I must say that the fans are kind of pinching themselves and not quite believing it. But every time they win, that little bit of belief continues to grow, and yesterday's game was a mighty dramatic one.
You're obviously just back from the World Cup in Qatar. That experience must have been phenomenal for you. Being the commentator that had the privilege to call that final, watching Messi the Magic Man, as you call him, talk us through that experience.
Yeah, you used the right word, Mandy. Privilege is exactly what it is. And I always say this about commentators in general, that we are completely at the behest of what's put in front of us. You know, you can only be as good as the raw material you're presented with. And we're just the lucky ones who sit with a microphone in our hand and watch the football match develop. And that football match was just an absolute monster. You know, it just kept on giving. The stars stepped up, the superheroes, Mbappe on one side and Messi on the other. Until 10 minutes from time, it looked as though it was going to be pretty routine, actually. Argentina were 2-0 up and France hadn't been very good. And, you know, it was just going to be a fairly straightforward story. But you have to be ready for anything. And Mbappe suddenly had his say. And France were back in it and it all went crazy. And it was just an absolute thrill to be there. And again, as you say, actually a privilege, and I pinch myself sometimes and I ask myself, why, what have I done to deserve it?
You have said in many interviews that the opening match of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa is the greatest match that you've ever commentated on. Do you have a different view after doing that final?
Well, I think I can skip that question by finding two separate categories for them. Because I think as a football match, clearly that World Cup final it must be up there on its own. As an occasion, though, I would absolutely cling to 2010, Shabalala and all of that, just because I think that transcended football. Messi and Mbappe, France and Argentina was just a brilliant, brilliant game. But what South Africa against Mexico meant to a country, a continent, the world, I think leaves that out on its own. And that will remain, I think, as an event, the one that has the hairs up on the back of my neck, because it was a hugely special day and I feel emotional about it whenever I think about it. I've got to say that Argentina against France was a stunning football match.
I think that South Africans also remember that match, you know, obviously so fondly, and it's so emotive for us because Bafana Bafana is just not what it used to be. We didn't even make it to the World Cup finals this time around. So we're experiencing a bit of a, shall we say, lull at the moment with our national
These things
team.
Are cyclical. They come and go. You'll be back.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So one of your standout lines at the World Cup was when Morocco beat Belgium, the second goal, where it's such a great line. I'm sure you remember it. The drink it in Casablanca, relish it, Rabat, this is your night. It was phenomenal for Africa to see the way that the African teams did at the World Cup. So yeah. Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Cameroon. Was this the rise of Africa for you at the World Cup? And what is your feeling commentating on African teams?
First of all, I really hope it is. because the trouble with me saying this is it sounds as though here I am sat in Europe's kind of patting you on the head and saying there, well done and all of that. I'm really not. When I express the view that the World Cup is so much better when it really does represent the whole world and the colour and the feel and the vibrancy that is of a different type when it's from Africa to Europe. You know, England supporters make a lot of noise. And of course, as an Englishman, I enjoy that. And Argentina supporters make a lot of noise and Brazilians and so on. But, you know, each does it their own way. And the Moroccan supporters at this World Cup were absolutely phenomenal. And there is a sense of universality when everybody is properly involved. And it makes a huge difference and it really matters. And what those Moroccan supporters and of course the Moroccan team, which was phenomenal, brought us was a depth of joy, which is what the World Cup's supposed to be about. It's a global coming together. And it's odd because this World Cup we've just had was obviously a very, very controversial one, a contentious one, around all sorts of issues. And yet, strangely, almost contrarily, it turned out to be the most representative World Cup in footballing terms that perhaps we've ever had. And as you say, Saudi Arabia had a lot to do with that. Morocco had most to do with that. And, you know, I was lucky to be there the night Cameroon beat Brazil, which is impossible. And, you know, that was fantastic, too.
So when you look at the lines that you throw out when you're commentating, I know you've been asked this question 1,000 times, but as a broadcaster, this is always something that I'm thinking about is around the preparation. I mean, you've said that preparation is 90% of what you do. But come on, Peter, do you script some of those lines? Like when you come up with a line, like all aboard the Marrakesh Express, and you speak about Redishit and Rabat, you know, those kinds of lines, how much of that is do you think about beforehand?
These are the rules, Mandy. These are the rules for me. And I'm not saying what's right and what's wrong because other commentators would do it differently. But I think that you are a fool as a commentator to script anything that you think might happen during the game. That is live. It's utterly unpredictable. If you pretend to, if you try to imagine a goal the night before when you're sat in your hotel room and prepare some words for it, when the moment comes, those words won't fit. Or they'll sound overly prepared or whatever. Now, I don't want to script anything, because if you're too scripted, it sounds too scripted. But what I will admit to doing ahead of, say, a Morocco game like that is thinking, look, you know, let's get a bit outside the box here. I can prepare all the facts and figures and all of those. But just imagine they win this game against Belgium, which they surely won't do. Let's have some thoughts about what do people think when they think Morocco? What are the big cities in Morocco? You know, Marrakesh, Rabat, Fez, blah, blah. You know, let's have them. Let's make sure they're on the tip of my tongue. So whilst I don't write down laboriously sentences, sort of word after word, I absolutely would think, you know, give myself some time to think about the reality of a shock Morocco win. Because I don't live in Morocco, I don't live in Africa. You know, it would be unprepared of me not to give some thought to the actual country I'm addressing. And so my natural instinctive knowledge of Morocco isn't great. I probably Googled big cities in Morocco, you know, just to make sure I had a list. You know, I've seen Casablanca like everybody has. You know, but it, you know, that's kind of it. It's just to have the seeds of a few thoughts. And then if there's 85 minutes gone and Morocco are winning, you're thinking, your mind's in overdrive thinking, do you know what? If they hang on here and win this game, this is going to be something. Mm. So you look at those and you think, right, let's get them ready. Because they might come into play.
I'm sure a lot of it is about just being in the moment and feeling the emotion of the crowd and harnessing all of that. You did a stint at SuperSport, so you know quite a bit, I'm sure, about South African commentary. And when you hear isiXhosa or isiZulu commentary, it's so emotive. You know, when somebody scores a goal or when something happens, that commentary and that emotion of it really does just lift up. It highlights the emotion of sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the most important thing. And that's why you have to be very careful about writing anything down, because it could sound inauthentic. And authenticity is everything. If you're pretending to be excited, if you're putting it on, if you're looking to mimic someone else's version of it, if you're just not really in the moment, for me, it shows. You know, you can see through a pretense, I think. And so it is absolutely about authenticity. It is about genuinely loving the moment. And I'm really lucky because I get to watch these great football matches and I think I do genuinely love the moment. And, you know, those Moroccan moments were beautiful. And I suppose it comes down to empathizing with real people. You know, think, what must it mean to supporters of Morocco to be having these extraordinary moments? You know, every pundit and former professional around the world before the World Cup, you know, when they were asked to name their four semi-finalists, you know, they'd have gone down the list of 32 nations and Morocco wouldn't have got a mention. And, you know, they got there and it was phenomenal. And you know, you have to be able to feel that moment, I think.
Peter, when you were commentating on your mom's ironing as a kid, did you ever think that you would get to this point where you got to commentate on a game like the World Cup final, like the Champions League finals, like the Premier League games you get to commentate on? Did you ever envisage that happening?
No. I not even really in a pipe dream kind of a way. When I was commentating on my mum doing the ironing, you know, I was pretending to be someone else who was on the telly. It wasn't a career move. I wasn't practicing. I was just being a little boy having fun. And, you know, like every little boy and girl who plays sport around the world, when they score a goal or take a wicket or score a try, you know, in the backyard or in the street or wherever they are, they commentate on themselves. That's what people do when they're young and they love sport. You know, they shout their own name. I used to run past someone who was walking in the park and shout my own name as if I'd crossed the line in the 800 meters of the Olympics, you know, but I'm not unique in that sense at all. I just love sport and I love the noise that the commentators made. So no, I didn't even dare to dream it. And I didn't take it even remotely seriously until I was into my 20s post-university.
So before I let you go, it would be remiss of me not to ask you about the great GOAT debate and Lionel Messi. In your career, is he the greatest player you've ever had the privilege of commentating on?
I think so. Listen, he had his crowning moment now in a way that Ronaldo didn't. And this is a really cruel debate, I think, actually. Whatever your personal views on Ronaldo or Messi, you know, they've both been brilliant. And funnily enough, as a human race, we're never quite content with that, are we? We have to decide who's the best. And of course, nobody can decide. They've both been phenomenal. But I think it's now the case that Messi got a crowning moment that Ronaldo didn't quite. And so maybe at the end of it all, Messi's won the argument.
Peter, fabulous. Thank you so much. I've loved chatting to you. I really appreciate it.
I've loved it too, Mandy. Thank you for asking me. I really appreciate it too.
And you have a lot of fans in South Africa. You really do. Well, we love listening to you.
I was going to say thank you to them too. Thank you for being so warm and kind and welcoming, because, you know, I'm just very lucky and I appreciate it. If sometimes I say the right thing, then that's grand. Thank you.
Peter Drury, the sports commentator, the football commentator, the poet, many would describe him as. He's such a lovely man, and what a privilege to do that interview with him.